On the next President's Watch, our country will make decisions that will affect our lives and our families far into the future. We can't allow ourselves to become a weaker, less prosperous, and more divided nation. Today, as before, the fate of millions across the world depends upon the unity and resolve of the American people. I talk about this tomorrow on Fred08.com. I invite you to take a look and join us.
Republican presidential hopeful Fred Thompson, in the way he chose to appear in last night's debate on the Fox News Channel via paid campaign advertising. To a lot of people, that's just plain weird, but there it was. And there he wasn't, as the other candidates were given ample time to comment on during the debate.
I was scheduled to be on Jay Leno tonight, but I gave up my slot for somebody else because I'd rather be in New Hampshire with these fine people.
Well, I think that's a decision that Fred should make. Maybe we're up past his bedtime, but the point is, I think...
I like Fred a lot. I think Fred is a really, really good man. I think he's done a pretty good job of playing my part on Law and Order.
Mike Huckabee, John McCain, and Rudy Giuliani in that order. We will hear some more issue-oriented highlights from the debate now, including the entire exchange on the war in Iraq between Huckabee and Ron Paul, which actually resembled a real debate for a couple of minutes there. And we will hear how Thompson dissed the whole thing when he did appear on Jay Leno last night. Oh, yeah, he skipped the debate but went on Leno. With me for this are WNYC political reporter Andrea Bernstein and New York Observer political columnist Steve Kornacki. Hi, Andrea and Steve. Welcome to WNYC.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, Brian.
Andrea, what's your lead?
Off of this debate?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I mean, it was obviously overshadowed by the Thompson announcement. It was a very Republican debate. It was on Fox News. The issues were sort of the red meat Republican issues, immigration, taxes. Nobody won and nobody lost, although I did feel that McCain has significantly loosened up. I mean, my sense of him is he always does best when he feels like he has nothing to lose. And I think that was certainly the case in the 2000 race. And I certainly felt last night, I mean, he made a lot of jokes. He was funny. He was sort of refreshingly honest when confronted with one of his clips. Instead of getting all tense, as the other candidates did, he said, oh, I thought that was a pretty good line.
Yeah, so, and other people were praising him and saying he had honor, and we'll actually play some of those clips, even though I think they were politically calculated because they see McCain as being out of it by now. But, Steve, what's your lead?
Well, you know, everybody's talking about Fred Thompson, but I think the story of last night is sort of a continuation of something that has been developing some talk for the last few weeks, and that is the dark horse in this race isn't from Tennessee, he's from Arkansas, and his name is Mike Huckabee. And I think it was a very strong night for Mike Huckabee. It's nothing new to say Mike Huckabee had a strong night in a debate. What was new is he got probably triple the airtime last night from the previous debates, and that's a sign that the media is taking him a lot more seriously, voters want to hear from him more, and I think he rose to the occasion last night as well.
Let's hear some clips of Romney and Giuliani first on the issue that Romney's been raising about Giuliani making New York City a so-called sanctuary city for illegal immigrants when he was mayor. Romney first.
This is a place where Mayor Giuliani and I just simply disagree. I think saying as he did, if you happen to be an undocumented alien, we want you in New York. We'll protect you in New York. I think that contributed to 3 million illegals in this country becoming 12 million illegals coming into this country.
So a direct attack on Giuliani there from probably his chief rival, at least for the moment, according to the polls, in addition to Thompson. Rudy's response focused on encouraging law-abiding illegal immigrants to turn in ones committing violent crime.
The problem that I had was I had 400,000 illegal immigrants, roughly, in New York City. And I had a city that was the crime capital of America. I didn't have the luxury of political rhetoric. I had the safety and security of the people in New York City on my shoulders.
So, Andrea, talk about this issue and also fact-check these claims and counterclaims, if you can. Obviously, you were covering Giuliani at the time.
Well, Giuliani was never an anti-immigrant mayor. He did inherit from Ed Koch the executive order, which basically instructed city officials not to turn over undocumented immigrants to federal authorities. Giuliani was particularly concerned about this with regards to law enforcement. I mean, I think that there's a problem for Romney attacking Rudy on this issue, which is that Romney was the governor of Massachusetts. He's probably not the best vehicle for the attack. I mean, there may be some Giuliani voters that are going to peel away. I'm not convinced they're going to go to Romney if he keeps raising this. I mean, the fact of the matter is Giuliani's you know, was a, his family, his father came over from Italy, and you know, when, as a young child, and he sort of has always felt connections to immigrants. So, and he did say when he was mayor, those are the people that come here and want to work hard and pay their taxes. Those are the kind of people we want to have. So he has never, you know, sort of you know, chased down immigrants. I mean, I do think the one thing about Giuliani is that, I mean, he is slipping in some rhetoric into his campaign. For example, he's talking about faith-based initiatives. He's talking about federalism to a great deal. I mean, these are things that appeal to conservative Republicans who tend to dominate the primaries. But he isn't trying to change his record. And the problem for Romney is that he is.
Steve, do you think he's getting caught at it by Republican primary voters?
Well, it's funny. I mean, the old saying is you never let the facts get in the way of a good argument. And you had two candidates last night, you know, Rudy Giuliani, who in the 1990s had a reputation as one of the most progressive voices in the Republican Party on immigration issues. Now he has to run away from that. Mitt Romney found the immigration issue, as best I can tell, in roughly November 2006 on his way out the door in Massachusetts. He was actually asked several months before that, just an innocent question at a press conference in Massachusetts. This is before he realized the extent to which immigration had sort of taken over the Republican debate. He was asked innocently, what do you think of John McCain's immigration proposal? He called it reasonable. Now he calls it amnesty and he tells you it's going to mean the end of Western civilization. I think because of all of the inconsistencies that you're going to find with any candidate, you know, in politics, it really becomes an issue of whose personality sort of connects with the voters, who presses the right emotional buttons so that they're willing to overlook it. And I think that's the story right now in this campaign so far. Rudy Giuliani has surpassed the expectations in his ability to make rank-and-file conservative voters who shouldn't like him on paper for 2,000 reasons not care about it.
Why?
I think you saw it in the answer last night on the immigration question. He turned it around, and he basically conjured up all of these images that you can imagine Republicans in Iowa and up in New Hampshire, whoever used to have of, you know, the dark, violent, dangerous New York City of the 1970s and the 1980s. And he said, hey, I'm the tough SOB who cleaned that place up. Isn't that the leadership you saw on 9/11 right. That you loved in me?
Right. I wasn't soft on immigration. I was tough on crime.
Yeah.
And I think that, I mean, I think the Rudy Giuliani campaign has you know, taken a roll of the dice. And unlike Mitt Romney, they've just decided we're not going to run away from these things. We're going to make them part of who we are. And the Republican voters that I have spoken to, many of them are accepting that. Many of them are saying, you know, we're not idiots. You know, we know his marital history. We know he doesn't talk to his children. We know his position on abortion. And yet, you know, we like him. We think he has the leadership qualities that are needed in President of the United States. So far, that has worked for Rudy Giuliani with the people that have been paying attention to the race thus far. I mean, I do think that this period that we're in right now is about to show a significant escalation, and it'll be interesting to see in the next 2 months whether that continues.
So as we continue to play clips and talk about last night's Republican debate, and we'll also talk about Fred Thompson getting into the race, I appeal to Republican listeners, if you are likely to vote in a Republican primary come Super Duper Tuesday or whenever it happens to be, give us a call. Did you watch the debate, or what do you think of the clips as you're hearing them here or elsewhere in the news today? Who are you thinking of voting for? Is anybody changing your mind? Is Huckabee really a dark horse who's coming into the first tier? Give us a call. What do you think? Republicans, 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692 with WNYC political reporter Andrea Bernstein and New York Observer political columnist Steve Kornacki. Steve, you wanted to say?
Yeah, I just want to follow up on that point about Giuliani. What's most interesting to me is if you look at how the conservatives are accepting him so far, the amazing thing is if you think back to the year 2000 when John McCain ran against George W. Bush and how the conservative establishment, conservative interest groups, they turned like I've never seen before on John McCain and single-handedly denied him that nomination when he was the most popular politician in the country. Ironically, John McCain is closer to conservatives on more issues than Rudy Giuliani is. John McCain, for instance, has a lifelong pro-life voting record. Rudy Giuliani's pro-choice. And yet, you know, Rudy Giuliani's not, you know, sort of encountering that kind of hostility. And I think what it is Rudy Giuliani has come into this basically saying to conservatives, I'm your friend. Yeah, I'm pro-choice, but I'm going to appoint strict constructionists, blah, blah, blah. I want to be your friend. John McCain's fundamental message in 2000 was, I want to tear down this conservative establishment through campaign finance reform. And they treated him as an enemy.
Well, that perfectly sets up our next two clips, because it's not often in debates that competing candidates go out of their way to praise one another, especially candidates who are both named as part of the first tier. But here are McCain and Giuliani doing just that. McCain praises Rudy after someone says Giuliani's 9/11 experience is not the same thing as national security experience. Let's hear that clip.
I say that Mayor Giuliani did a great job as mayor of New York City and led the country and inspired us after the tragedy of 9/11. And I admire that and appreciate it. I've spent my life in national security issues. I know the conflict. I know war. I've seen war. I have led. I was once the commanding officer of the largest squadron in the United States Navy. I didn't manage it. I led it.
So McCain saying, in effect, yes, Rudy's experience is relevant, but my experience is better. And Rudy, for his part, praises and almost endorses McCain as well.
I have tremendous respect for Senator McCain. I think I've said more than once, if I wasn't running, I'd probably be supporting him for president of the United States. I just happen to think that there's a better candidate, me, but, you know, that's...
All right, Andrea, why were they so lovey-dovey?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple of things going on here. First of all, at this point in the race, there's no need for Rudy Giuliani to beat up on John McCain. And I think that, you know, these are two people that have had a genuine affection and friendship. I mean, you know, in 2000, when McCain was running against Bush and the entire Republican establishment was for Bush, and Rudy Giuliani was part of the Republican establishment in 2000, he didn't endorse McCain, but he said nothing bad about him. And this infuriated the Bush supporters at the time, who felt like, you know, if you're not with us, you're against us. And Rudy Giuliani liked John McCain. They worked together several times thereafter. They sort of both saw themselves as iconoclastic Republicans, although Steve is right. I mean, McCain's views are pretty far to the right of Rudy Giuliani's on most issues. So I think that there's a genuine affection, and I think that, you know, it's sort of the, you know, kinder, gentler Rudy that has been on display in this campaign. I mean, New Yorkers are used to seeing him with his teeth bared, in a lot of these encounters with his fellow Republicans, he's been very gentlemanly.
I guess, although it seems to me that part of his strategy for overcoming his liberalism on some social issues is to appear to have his teeth bared on everything else.
Yes, on issues, but not against people.
Yeah. Well, Huckabee, too, praised McCain last night, Steve. So, ironically, I think this all means that they think McCain's a loser and they want his remaining supporters.
Actually, that's about right. And also, if you talk him up a little bit, it inflates the value of a potential endorsement. But I think the conventional wisdom would be if McCain were to drop out at any point, he'll endorse Rudy Giuliani. What was interesting about Huckabee's move, though, I thought was I saw it as aimed at Mitt Romney. Because John McCain there's absolutely no love lost between John McCain and Mitt Romney. McCain is infuriated by what he sees as Romney's sort of bold opportunism on the immigration issue, where McCain staked out a principal position and Romney's just there, you know, running his mouth. The same thing on torture, by the way. McCain sees a guy who never served his country and who came up with that excuse for his five sons campaigning for him a few weeks ago, you know, out there trying to lecture John McCain on torture. So, you know, Huckabee's going to take an opportunity to make John McCain look good in a confrontation with Mitt Romney. And I think that's what he did last night.
Ron in Stamford, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling, Ron. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
First, I'd like to say I love your show. You guys do a superb job.
Thank you.
I've been a Republican all my life, but I still listen to WNYC religiously. Go figure.
I see nothing incongruous about that, but go ahead.
All right. What I would like to say is, you know, I really, really feel bad that John McCain is not doing better. I think the guy would be an excellent president and should have been the president, you know, for the past 8 years. But if it comes to the primary and it looks like he has no chance of winning or he's dropped out by then, my second choice would be Rudy Giuliani.
Did you watch the debate last night?
I did not. Unfortunately, I was otherwise engaged.
And from, I won't ask, but from what you've been hearing in the media today, are you, you know, going through any kinds of reconsiderations with I don't know, Huckabee or anything else? Or it sounds like you're a Giuliani guy and you're there.
Yeah, I kind of don't know enough about the rest of them. And I don't have the time in my life, frankly, to educate myself. And I think it's a common problem. You kind of go with your gut.
Right. Well, call us back and let us know if you're still there as we come closer to the Connecticut primary. Ron, thanks a lot for calling us. Our phone's open for other Republicans who want to call in and give us your impressions of the debate. If you watched on Fox News Channel last night or listened here, we thank Fox and the New Hampshire Republican Party for giving us radio broadcast rights. And our phone number, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And when we continue in a minute, we will play the entire exchange between Ron Paul and Governor Huckabee on the war in Iraq. Stay with us.
I'll do my share, but I don't think it's a very enlightening forum, to tell you the truth.
Fred Thompson on Jay Leno last night after he skipped the Republican debate on Fox, saying he'll do his share of debates, but he doesn't think they are very enlightening forums. Andrea Bernstein, what do you think about that?
I think it's interesting that he's taken on Fox as an enemy. It seems like if you're a Republican, you wouldn't want that to be the case. You know, I mean, I think it's easy on The Tonight Show to sort of mock the forum, but the problem is that voters in New Hampshire and Iowa in particular really take these things seriously, whether you show up in the candidate parade or not.
You want to do some political analysis of Thompson's decision?
Well, and Mary Matlin was on Meet the Press over the weekend talking about that she's a Thompson advisor, and she rolled her eyes at the suggestion that it was a bad decision, and she said, well, real Americans watch The Tonight Show. They don't watch debates. The problem is real Americans, all of the real Americans who watch The Tonight Show aren't going to remember Fred Thompson's appearance, you know, a week from now. The Republican voters who are going to decide this primary and the movers and shakers within the party noticed that Fred Thompson missed this debate last night, and it followed weeks of stories about disorganization in the campaign and the possibility that he's really not ready for prime time, and it suggests, fair or unfair, that he was afraid to show up on the stage with the other candidates.
Let's have this conversation in 2 months. There are plenty of debates to come, and we will see how Thompson does. Here is perhaps the most substantive stretch of real debate from any candidate's forum so far. It is between Governor Huckabee and Congressman Paul on the war in Iraq. Paul is the anti-war candidate in the group. We will play this whole two-minute-plus exchange now. We hear Huckabee first as he refers to John McCain.
And on this issue, when he says we can't leave until we've left with honor, I 100% agree with him because, Congressman, whether or not we should have gone to Iraq is a discussion the historians can have, but we're there. We bought it because we broke it. We've got a responsibility to the honor of this country and to the honor of every man and woman who has served in Iraq and ever served in our military to not leave them with anything less than the honor that they deserve.
Go ahead. You wanted to respond? He just addressed you. You go ahead and respond.
The American people didn't go in. A few people advising this administration, a small number of people called the neoconservatives, hijacked our foreign policy. They're responsible, not the American people. They're not responsible. We shouldn't punish them.
Congressman, we are one nation. We can't be divided. We have to be one nation under God. That means if we make a mistake, we make it as a single country, the United States of America,
no.
Not the divided states of America.
When we make a mistake, it is the obligation of the people through their representatives to correct the mistake, not to continue the mistake.
And that's what we do on the floor of the Senate?
No, we've dug a hole for ourselves and we've dug a hole for our party. We're losing elections and we're going down next year if we don't change it. And it has all to do with foreign policy and we have to wake up to this fact.
Even if we lose elections, we should not lose our honor. And that is more important than the Republican Party.
We have lost over 5,000 Americans killed in Afghanistan. We've lost over 5,000 Americans over there in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and plus the civilians killed. How many more do you want to lose? How long are you going to be there? How long? What do we have to pay to save face? That's all we're doing is saving face. It's time we came home.
Gentlemen, thank you.
All right. Now, Steve Kornacki, you know what's interesting to me about that? I don't exactly know who was in the audience, but if I can assume that they were overwhelmingly Republicans, there was a lot of cheering on both sides of that question.
Yeah, I'd be cautious about reading too much into that for a couple of reasons. One, the debate was in New Hampshire. New Hampshire has actually been designated by the Libertarian Party as the free state, so it is swarming with Ron Paul supporters who, as we saw at the Ames Straw Poll, a few weeks ago, are willing to drive literally thousands of miles if it means getting a chance to see Ron Paul.
Maybe he's the dark horse. Could he win place or show in New Hampshire?
I think what we saw also in the Iowa Straw Poll, where he finished, I think it was about 9% of the vote that he got there, it seemed like he bussed in every supporter he had around the country. They were willing to travel. They were willing to make the trip, but it couldn't buy him more than about 9%. It reminds me of, the phenomenon of, the candidate who wins all the internet polls, but then when it actually comes to turning out everybody on election day, it's just not there. But I think he's obviously much more of a factor than, a Duncan Hunter or somebody else, and he brings substance to these debates. And you know what? Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney tried it, and last night Mike Huckabee did it. Whenever one of these Republicans wants to score points with the base, they use him as a punching bag, so they love having him there.
So, Andrea Bernstein, one thing that's amazed me consistently so far is that all the so-called top-tier candidates have stayed in lockstep with the Bush administration on the war, even though the war is so unpopular.
It is interesting. And I think that, sort of campaign organizations aside, even among Republicans, there is a lot of discontent about the war. And I think if you got a random audience of Republicans anywhere in the country, in a libertarian state or not, you'd find a divided set of opinions. And it is interesting how all the other ones have said we need to stay the course, how there were sort of various shades of defending the troop surge and saying it was working, and whether you assumed it was working, you believed it was working, whether it was certainly working. I mean, the other thing that was interesting last night is there was a point of the debate where there was a Fox reporter in a diner, and he gave people who were there having coffee or, had been invited to have coffee the opportunity to answer questions. And one of them said that she thought that marriage shouldn't necessarily be
that
between
clip. Let's play it, yes. And what we're setting up here, I think, is that the crowd reaction was as interesting as the politician's reaction. So the first voice you'll hear is Fox reporter Carl Cameron.
Okay, so let's take that question from Heidi Turcotte. And there you hear the reaction from Granite Staters, the live free or die state, and pose this to Sam Brownback. Senator Brownback, should there be a constitutional amendment banning gay marriage, and if so, why?
Answer to that is yes. And the reason is this is a foundational institution. It is a foundational institution. I understand this is a divided audience on this, and I understand we as a country are struggling with this question, but these issues aren't done in a vacuum. I had a question earlier about family values, and I think this is important for us to rebuild the family structure.
So the fact that it was a divided audience is what struck
you.
He
was booed for supporting a constitutional amendment. Now, yes, this is New Hampshire. It's libertarian. It's not the state that's right-wing on social issues. That would probably be South Carolina that people are thinking of. But nevertheless, a boo is a strong reaction and indicates that these issues, the war, gay marriage, are going to be more nuanced and more complicated in these elections than those of us who tend to watch the Republican primaries over the years have been led to believe.
Matt in Wantagh. Hi, Matt. You're on WNYC.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. You watch the debate?
I sure did. I'm a longtime Republican. I initially was supporting McCain, but I had a relative killed by an illegal immigrant, and right now the Justice Department just released some figures, and over 40,000 Americans in the past 10 years have been killed by illegal immigrants.
Who are you for?
Right now for Mitt Romney or Thompson. I want someone who's going to take a stance on immigration and solve it and shut down that border.
Since you watched last night, were you at all put off by the fact that Romney has very recently converted to your position on illegal immigration, or the fact that they were able to make him squirm on that the remark he made about how his sons were helping the war effort by helping him get elected?
I'm a veteran on top of it. Did it bother me a little? Yeah, but you know what? I think when it's a good sign, because I think what it's showing is that the politicians are starting to realize that they can't play off this position anymore. They can't play off the immigration. It's reached a threshold now. I mean, my God, 40-some thousand killed by illegal immigrants. They're releasing violent felons who are known illegal immigrants violent felons, pedophiles, they get arrested, they do their time, and they're not being deported, they're being released.
Matt, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you very much. We would have to check if the violent crime rate is any different than for anybody else and all of that, but there you go. And Mary Beth in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mary Beth.
Hi, how are you?
Good. We've got about 30 seconds for you. What'd you think?
Well, it didn't change my opinion about any of the candidates.
You did watch last night.
Yes, I did. And I've watched many of the other debates for the Democratic Party, too.
So where does that leave you?
Well, I just feel I'm more informed about how the candidates feel about different issues.
Uh-huh. And who are you leaning toward?
In the primary, I'm leaning towards Giuliani. I'm not decided that I would ultimately vote for a Republican, though.
Uh-huh. But you're a registered Republican, so you will get to vote in that primary?
Yes.
Tell us real briefly why Giuliani.
Well, I think he has good experience, and I think he has nuanced solutions to complex problems.
Mary Beth, thank you very much. Very briefly, Andrea Bernstein, Fred Thompson will be in a debate at some point.
And then we will hopefully learn more than we did from his 30-second commercial, which, you know, could have been in one of those movies that tend to come out in the fall of campaign years about candidate X. I mean, it was very generic. And hopefully, as the race goes on, we'll really get a sense of who he is and what he believes and where he wants to take the country.
I think September 27th is that first Thompson-inclusive debate. A last word in 10 seconds, Steve Kornacki from the New York Observer.
I'll predict we're going to find out that Fred Thompson's a better performer in the movies he's been in, the television shows, than he is on the political stage.
Steve Kornacki is political columnist for the New York Observer. Andrea Bernstein, WNYC political reporter, just back from a year away from these airwaves, having done a year worth of study out at Stanford. Great to hear you again.
Thank you. Nice to be back.
And one thing we know about Rudy Giuliani, he's a huge opera fan. Don't tell them that in Kansas, but we thought it only fitting, given the death of Luciano Pavarotti today, to go out with the debate responses of Giuliani set to the music of Pavarotti. As we all know, Giuliani's personal life is of operatic proportions, and he was asked about it last night.
The reality is that I think someone's private life, someone's family life, is something that you all look into to determine how they can conduct themselves in public office. And in my case, you have about 30, 35 years of experience to figure out how I would. I held one of the most difficult jobs in the country, sometimes described as the second or third most difficult job in the country. I held it under very difficult times. I'm not talking about September 11th. I'm talking from the day I came into office, with a fiscal crisis, a crime crisis, a welfare crisis. I turned all those things around. So quite obviously, any issues that go on in my private life, which I don't think are terribly different than at least some people in this country, certainly haven't lived a perfect life. I am not running as the perfect candidate for President of the United States. I'm running as a human being who has been very successful as a leader and had definable results in a situation in which people thought it was impossible to accomplish these things. They thought it was impossible to take on the mafia. I succeeded in doing it. They thought it was impossible to reduce crime. I did. They thought it was impossible to reduce welfare. I removed 640,000 people from the welfare rolls. And they thought it was impossible to manage New York City. It was described as an unmanageable city. Now they're writing books about how well I managed it. So obviously, any issues in my private life do not affect my public performance.
Thank you, sir.